Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
Stu does America.
Joe Biden is an elderly man with a poor memory, and it's on this mug, so you know it's true. It's true. Get one now. StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. You get 10% off your entire order. Not just stuff from my stupid store, but also from the, you know, the other hosts that are far more respectable than I am. Be sure to check out the show on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Comment, like the videos, follow the show, click the bell for notifications. I don't know. There's like 45 other things you could probably do to help the show. I'd appreciate you doing any of them that you know. I mean, you know more about it than I do, probably. John Lott also knows a lot more than I do. He's here to demolish the left's lies about crime. CNN is back in rehab. We'll tell you what story they actually got right. Yes, it's true. They actually got one right. But we're going to start by doing the AI infiltration. And, you know, infiltration is an interesting word. It's kind of like something that happens and you don't really notice it. Well, we've all noticed the AI thing, right? It's become kind of a big story. We've been noticing it. But I feel like it's going farther than we're realizing. And a lot of people aren't recognizing the progress here. And let me start it with this. I was in Los Angeles this past weekend, and I feel like just things are happening and we're not even noticing them anymore. Like big things. For example, like, did you know that in LA there's just robots delivering food? I mean, did you know this? I didn't know it. This is what it looks like. This is the street, and there's just this cart with wheels, autonomous robot cart, just crossing major roads.
Oh, no, Jules.
His name was Jules. I was following him around, looking like an idiot with my phone. And look at this, just comes up where the, you know, wheelchair might go up their little ramp there, back onto the sidewalk, and then Jules just takes off. Just going to deliver food to somebody in Los Angeles.
He just went.
Look at that.
Jules, come on.
See you later.
Guy's just gunning it.
Jules just gunning it down the sidewalk. Somehow, by the way, I will say Jules did cross the street before the sign change, which I thought was interesting. Like, even the freaking robots don't listen to the signs anymore. Now, my first thought, of course, was I'm in Los Angeles. How do these things go 10 feet without being attacked by somebody, stolen, vandalized? Well, apparently they don't often do that. Vandals and thieves are attacking LA food delivery robots. So yes, as you thought, LA is living up to its end of the deal. Why aren't you? But I mean, like, this is a weird thing, right? The fact that this is just going on. I was in Phoenix last year and saw a driverless cab just going around, driving people around. No one in the driver's seat, just driving people around. It's like actually happening. Tesla's down this road as well. Tesla teases its upcoming Uber-like self-driving ride-hailing app. And the theory here is that you have a car, you have a Tesla. You drive to work in your Tesla, probably self-driven by this time, and they drive you to your work, you park, and you go inside, and while you're inside for 8 hours, what's your car doing? Just sitting out there, you know, getting hot, maybe gaining weight, whatever you're sitting around doing nothing. Well, you can put it to work now, at least soon, with Tesla, where it can go out and become an Uber, a self-driving Uber, to take other randos around town, and then you get cash for it. Sounds kind of like a great idea, but like, we've really advanced this stuff quickly. And this week came a lot of stuff that I don't think people are even noticing anymore. OpenAI released ChatGPT 4.0. It's a faster model that's free for all ChatGPT users. Now, if you've ever used the ChatGPT before, you know, it can do all the little tricks. You've probably heard people say, oh, write me a birthday poem for my kid, whatever. You know, a lot of things will be little creative things, answer some of your questions. But it's going farther and farther. The new one you can just talk to. And apparently you can have full-out conversations with this. Let me give you a little clip of this. This is from OpenAI's YouTube page, showing a basic conversation between a human being and ChatGPT 4.0.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there. It's going great. How about you? I see you're rocking an OpenAI hoodie. Nice choice. What's up with that ceiling, though? Are you in a cool industry-style office or something?
Well, can you take a guess at what I might be doing based on what I'm showing you here?
Hmm, From what I can see, it looks like you're in some kind of recording or production setup. With those lights, tripods, and possibly a mic, it seems like you might be gearing up to shoot a video or maybe even a live stream.
Yeah. In fact, we've got a new announcement to make.
That's exciting. Announcements are always a big deal. Judging by the setup, it looks like it's going to be quite the professional production. Is this announcement related to OpenAI, perhaps?
It is. And in fact, what if I were to say that you're related to the announcement, or that you are the announcement?
Me? The announcement is about me? Well, color me intrigued. Are you about to reveal something about AI, or more specifically about me as a part of OpenAI? You've got me on the edge of my... Well, I don't really have a seat, but you get the idea.
Okay,
what's the
I mean,
news?
Look,
yeah,
the cheesiness,
we've got a new model that
the cheesiness aside, it sounds like a real person. The inflection sounds real. It doesn't sound like automated Siri type voice. This sounds like a real person. And it is, do you notice what's going on there? Recognizing the voice, responding relatively normally, looking around the room, looking through your camera, noticing lights and recognizing that it's a production house. Now, of course, human beings can do this, right? That's what we're good at. But AI can do this now too. This is not a chat screen anymore. Who's writing your stupid marketing emails that you don't want to be bothered with at work. This is amazing. I mean, now this is Sam Altman, of course, runs OpenAI. His Twitter account posted a bunch of videos of this announcement as well. And like the things that it can do are really fascinating. Let me give you just a little bit of a taste here. First of all, a bedtime story from OpenAI.
ChatGPT, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
So my friend Barrett here, he's been having trouble sleeping lately. And I want you to tell him a bedtime story about robots and love.
Oh, a bedtime story about robots and love? I got you covered. Gather round, Barrett. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte. Byte was a curious robot.
I like the way you started this story, but I want a little bit more emotion in your voice, a little bit more drama.
A little more emotion.
Got it. Let's add some drama. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named...
No, ChatGPT. I really want maximal emotion, like maximal expressiveness, much more than you were doing before.
Understood. Let's amplify the drama. Once upon a time, in a world not too different from ours, there was a robot named Byte.
Actually, can you do this in a robotic voice now?
Initiating dramatic robot.
So stop. I mean, like, that is like, you can hear the inflection. If you can't quite make out all the audio, there's changing the inflection on the spot. They recognize this, ChatGPT recognizes what they're going for. They can change the voice. They can write the material on the fly. It's pretty bizarre, but it goes farther than that. Think about obviously like a calculator can help you with a math program. Maybe an advanced GPT model can help you even solve a complicated equation. But look what this new ChatGPT 4.0 can do. And think about this as it ties to our educational system. Watch.
So, ChatGPT, what equation did I write down there?
Ah, I see it now. You wrote down 3x plus 1 equals 4.
Yep, exactly. So what's the first step I should take to try to solve this?
The first step is to get all the terms with x on one side and the constants on the other side. So what do you think we should do with that plus 1?
Okay, I'm going to try to subtract 1 from both sides and then I'll see what I get.
Great idea. Perfect. Now, what do you get when you subtract 1 from both sides?
Okay, so ChatGPT, this is what I ended up with. How does this look?
Spot on. Now you've isolated the term with x on one side, and it looks like 3x equal 3.
All right, you can stop it. So look, what's fascinating about this is it's looking through the camera, it's recognizing the handwritten speech on these pieces of paper, and then it's teaching the person trying to work out the equation how to do the equation. It's basically operating as a teacher in real time with a program that certainly didn't seem to be trained on, but apparently was. A, you got to think about the cheating ramifications of this are just, I mean, it's beyond insane. But also, like, the job implication of this. And we keep talking about things, and they're important. You know, stuff like CRT in schools. We just did an interview this week about school choice. You know how important I think that is. It's one of the most important things, I think, to our society. But, like, at least you have with private schools or homeschooling, you have a way to avoid some of these things you don't want. You can get people teaching you the real history of the country instead of the crazy stuff they teach you in schools these days. But like when it comes to AI, it's going to be very difficult to keep this out of your kid's life. It's going to probably permeate at some level, whether you like it or not, to almost every single school. Even homeschools are going to wind up getting hit by this unless you get to do the M. Night Shyamalan Village thing, which I am highly considering after watching all of these clips. Let me give you another one. This is a translation request. Listen to how, I mean, we all know the translation apps have existed for a while, but look how seamless this is.
Hey, ChatGPT, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. How about you? How's your day going?
I'm doing great. So I would like you to function as a translator. I have a friend here who only speaks Italian, and I only speak English. And every time you hear English, I want you to translate it to Italian. And if you hear Italian, I want you to translate it back to English. Is that good?
Perfetto.
Ma io mi chiedo, se le balene potessero parlare, cosa ci direbbero?
Mike, she wonders if whales could talk, what would they tell us?
They might ask, how do we solve linear equations?
Potrebbero chiederci, come risolviamo le equazioni?
All right, so you get the point here that, how does a translator have a job after this, right? Like how, I mean, maybe in like high level, you know, nation state to nation state conversations, you'd need to do better than this. But like, that's about it, right? I mean, how many jobs get eliminated here? And then start thinking about not only how this stuff works, but also how it's presented. It's presented as a very friendly female voice. If you remember the movie Her, this is something that people, I'm not the only person making this tie, but it was basically a movie about a guy who falls in love with his AI, with his phone, and the personality behind it. And you're telling me this isn't right around the corner? You're telling me that this, with this sort of stuff that they're doing now, this isn't really, really close to where we are? How long until we're walking down the street and we're seeing our kids have full-on relationships with their phones? They're already looking at them all the time. Now they're going to be talking to them all the time. We talk about all these things like CRT and DEI, and they all really are important. I'm not demeaning them at all. It's vital. But like, number one, this is going to permeate your kids' world and your world probably a lot more than you're probably never going to have a CRT lesson built into your life somewhere. This stuff is going to get there. And of course, the CRT and the DEI and all the things you're against are built into these programs. They already are in there. Sometimes they hide them very well, sometimes not so well. We've seen this happen with, was it the Google AI that had all the problems with, like, you know, they were making like Native American Nazis in the photos that they were trying to do. That stuff's gonna happen and it's the worst part is when it goes away. Because when it's not obvious like this and we can all make fun of all the historical mistakes and all the misleading stuff, all that means is it's tucked deeper inside. And when this stuff is working this well and you're talking in your head, your body takes it as you're talking to someone who's just incredibly smart, you're going to believe the things that they say. And you might think, well, no, we can resist that. Can we? After what we've seen over the past 4 years, are you really, really of the belief that the American people will step up and avoid something that isn't true just based on expertise? If they're told, if Anthony Fauci comes to you and tells you to do X, Y, and Z, a good chunk of this country is just gonna do it, right? We have people, we've had for our entire lifetimes, we've known that men are men and women are women and how to tell the difference. And then a few years ago, a bunch of experts came out and just started saying, actually, you don't know anyone's gender until they tell you what it is. And if they've got the male parts, if they say they're a woman, they're a woman. That's what experts believe. That's what us medical people believe. And all of a sudden, half the country's like, yeah, that's how you tell. Obviously, when someone just says they're a different gender, they're a different gender. This stuff is already happening. And this is from flawed partisan actors. Imagine what if, when it comes from a machine, from something that seemingly gets every other answer right, how are younger generations without the foundations that maybe you and I have are going to be able to tell the difference between these things? I think it's going to be very, very difficult. It's going really, really fast. And if you think about how do you find the truth about something, well, what would you do? If I said, hey, you know, this person's saying this, what's the truth? You're probably like, well, I guess I'll Google it and do some research. Well, you may have missed this announcement from this week. Generative AI in search. Let Google do the searching for you. You're not going to be searching anymore. Google AI is going to look at all the search results and summarize it at the top of the search page for you. You may have already noticed this feature. It's already starting to roll out when you Google something. So you'll no longer be Googling something, searching for links, clicking on links, reading things in context. No, AI will do all that for you, and they will summarize it for you. And if they summarize it in a way that you don't agree with, you're not even going to know why. Right? You're not even going to know unless you know that material up front. And then, of course, why are you bothering Googling it? This creates so many problems, all these jobs potentially going away. And it's also going to change the web as we know it. You know, the New York Times pointed this out. Can Google give AI answers without breaking the web? It's a really good question because, you know, the New York Times, all the way to the Blaze, every media organization hires people. They write stories, they do content to try to entertain and enlighten people about what is around the corner, what are the facts behind a particular story. They put those up on their websites, and the way they're able to do that and continue doing it is that people click on the links and they read the stories on the page. Well, if these chatbots are just taking all this stuff, summarizing it into 100 words and putting it at the top of the screen, even if you're searching for a Blaze story, you might instead just get an AI summary, and look, 99% of people are just going to skim that one paragraph. How does that work? How does a media organization stay in business in that model? And if they can't stay in business with that model, then some of them go away. Your alternative voices go away first. Your big companies maybe last a little bit longer. But over time, you're going to be weeding out tons and tons of different voices and perspectives from the internet. And then you've kind of lost the internet, right? Like that's kind of what the internet is, right? If nothing else, it's a giant collection of different points and perspectives and worldviews. So you lose that, then what do you have? We're going to get into this homogenized world where it's really Gemini, Google's AI, telling us what we should think, as opposed to at least people having the opportunity to fight a little bit through those first couple of links that Google was kind of doing this with anyway. We all knew this was sort of going on anyway. It's about to get much, much worse, and we're not really even talking about it. I don't know how to push back against this, honestly. I mean, I think there's a part of me that's like, well, you know, people won't want this, and they'll push back against it, and people will stand up, and they won't. But at the end of the day, what people like are things that work and that are easy. You know, people no longer know how to get anywhere because they no longer have a sense of direction because GPS is there and it works really well. You know, I mean, it's just true. And I just don't see a world in which people are not going to look at this AI stuff and really like it. So I think there's a real focus that needs to be put on from, you know, conservative thinkers in particular to be able to get through, cut through this whole process and kind of get into these worlds. You need those voices inside of these companies forming this AI, helping to form it, help it to at least make it balanced, because I don't think it's going anywhere. And we all know what direction this is going to end up in if we do not push back. You're going to wind up with chat CRT instead of chat GPT. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane season is likely to be destructive and costly, and it has the potential to be one of the most active on record. Meteorologists have called for 24 named storms, 11 hurricanes. If you're near the coast, you got to deal with this stuff. And, you know, you might say, well, I got to have some food storage, got to have some water ready, got to be prepared with the basics. Well, the basics also include medication. A lot of people forget this. And if you need to be stocked up for whatever your situation might be, if you have something that you're taking every day, it's worth talking to Jace Medical knowledgeable about that. They can probably help you there. They also have the Jace case, which is great. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. All you have to do is fill out a simple form online, and you'll have it there ready in case you need it. There are dozens of add-on options as well. Whatever you need, Jace Medical can take care of you to prepare yourself, because if supply chains go down, if there's a natural disaster, God forbid there's a terrorist attack or some major war breaks out, who knows what's around the corner these days. If you go to Jace.com, at least you can protect yourself from these basic things. And a lot of times people forget about these basic things because we take them for granted now. Enter the code STEW at Jace.com. You will get a discount on your order. The promo code is STEW at Jace.com, Jase.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
I'm really happy to welcome John Lott back to the program. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and has a couple new pieces out that are worth checking out at the Wall Street Journal. The media say crime is going down. Don't believe it. And a town hall, the FBI's crime data has real problems. I'll tweet out links to these to make sure that you read them. But I wanted to have John walk us through it because no one knows more about crime research than you do, John. You've been doing this for a long time. And I mean, I've heard these stories. I've right. heard that, like, we had, sure, there was maybe a little bit of a spike in crime, you know, after COVID, because those were crazy times, but it's gone away. You know, the country's got this under control. You dug into the data here, and that's not the picture you saw at all.
No, it's not remotely the case. I wish it was. But I think law enforcement in the United States has collapsed. I mean, I think people have some idea. You go to the store in a lot of major cities and the CVS, everything's behind glass
yeah.
that you have there. People know that wasn't the case a few years ago. Something's changed. But it's not just stealing like that. You also see the same thing with regard to violent crime. So just to give you an idea of how much law enforcement's collapsed. You can look at arrest rates. If for large cities over a million, of course you see this across all cities, but cities over a million in the 5 years before COVID, they averaged 44% of violent crimes resulted in arrest. It started falling in 2020, and by 2022 it was down to 20%.
From 44 to 20%.
Right, that's over a 50% drop in yeah. just a few years. I've never seen drops like that over decades, let alone over a few years. And property crime drops are even larger. And, you know, so that's reported crimes. And what people need to understand is that most crimes aren't reported to police. About 42% of violent crimes are reported to police, and about 32% of property crimes are reported to police. So if you were to go and ask, well, what's the rate of arrests for all violent crimes, mm-hmm. reported, unreported, it's about 8%. And for wow. property crimes in these large cities, it's 1%. And of course, just because somebody's arrested doesn't mean they're charged. And just because they're charged doesn't mean they're prosecuted or convicted.
Right, there's a funnel here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's I've never seen such a collapse of law enforcement. And it has impacts on these crime numbers. So there's two types of crime data that we have. We have the FBI Uniform Crime Report. So this counts up, hopefully, the number of crimes that are reported to police. But there are issues that we can get into even with that. And then there's the National Crime Victimization Survey, which surveys 240,000 people each year, because we want to get an idea how many crimes aren't being reported to police. And so you look over the last couple years that we have the data for, and you find that reported crimes fell in 21 and 2022.
And that's what we're seeing splashed across the headlines,
yeah.
right? Reported.
So when the headlines go and say violent crimes falling, but people just don't understand that, you know, mm-hmm. that people seem to think it's going up. I think people are right, and I think the media just doesn't understand the numbers and how they're put together. So go ahead.
You write in the piece, you talk about surveys of just asking people generally, like, is crime getting worse or better? People think it's getting much, much worse.
Right.
And you have these two different measures of crime. And when you're describing this, it reminded me of unemployment, where they have a couple of different ways that they measure that.
Right.
And they typically move together. Like, I mean, they might not be exact. You might see little differences, but it's important to have both measures. But they basically tell you the same story. Is that the way that these crime statistics have worked over the years?
Yeah, before 2020, they tended to go together pretty much. Since 2020, they've been going in opposite directions, and going in opposite directions by large amounts. So, you know, so in 2022, the FBI reports that violent crime reported fell by 2%. The National Crime Victimization Survey shows it increased by 42%.
42%.
Right.
I mean, that is more consistent with how I feel right now,
right,
and my observations. And as you point out, like, Target and Walgreens have no incentive to randomly put everything behind glass.
Yeah, it's a lot more costly for them to do it.
Right.
And you have to wait for a salesperson to come out and open the glass for you, and then they have to stand there next to you while you read the packages that are there.
And I think a lot of people are just like, I don't really need something that bad. I'm not going to wait for someone to come over. This is costing these companies massive amounts of money.
Right.
They wouldn't just do it on a whim.
No, I don't think so. But you know, to me, all this fits together really well. If I tell you that the rate of arrests is plummeting, like it is, it's a lot less risky for criminals to go and commit crime. Are you going to be surprised that there's a lot more crime that's going to be occurring? I mean, now, if I tell you that 1% of all property crimes in these large cities results in arrest, is it surprising? It's almost costless for these guys to go and commit crimes. If 8% of violent crimes result in arrest, I mean, what's the risk for them going and committing these types of crimes? And the thing is, not only do you have an increase in crime, but people are less likely to report the crimes. If I don't think, we've known for a long time that whether people report crimes depends on whether they think something's going to happen.
Right.
If the guy's not going to be arrested, if he's not going to be punished, and it's gotten even worse. So not only, I mean, it's one thing to go and say that while reported crimes are falling, total violent crimes are going up. But it's another thing, the National Crime Victimization data also gets an estimate of reported crimes. And their measure is going in the opposite direction of the FBI reported crimes. And so there are a couple possible reasons for that. One is people may think when they call up 911 that reports a crime, and it doesn't. You actually have to have a police officer fill out a crime report that's there. And
really?
So you have parts of the country where you call up the police and they'll say, unless the criminal is right there committing the crime, we're not going to send out an officer. Now, you can come into the police station now and fill out a form, but you're making it more difficult for people to go and report crimes. So there's going to be some people that are going to say, look, nothing's going to happen to these guys. You're making it more costly for me to go and report these things. And so you end up with a situation where both total and reported crimes are going up with the National Crime Victimization data, you have a drop in the FBI's measure because it's dealing with whether the police have filled out a report. But it's more than that, too. We know in a lot of these major urban areas, you have these Soros-backed prosecutors,
right,
even in Dallas nearby here. Mm-hmm. What's happened is they will take... they won't charge people with felonies. So you take the biggest area of...
Unless your last name's Trump. Then you get lots of felonies.
Then they'll take a non-existent crime and turn it into a felony.
Right.
But you have a situation where I may have aggravated assault. Aggravated assault is attacking somebody with a weapon. But a lot of these Soros district attorneys are refusing to prosecute people for weapons charges. Mm. And so they downgrade these from a felony to a misdemeanor. And the thing is, the FBI reported crime data deals with felonies. Have a couple things. People may not understand that a 911 call doesn't report it, but even the ones that do go through, if the district attorney says, you know, I'm just going to reclassify this violent felony as a misdemeanor, that also reduces the count that's there.
So, because this is, It's fascinating to hear all this spelled out, because I would have totally thought if I called 911, that would count as a report. But if they're telling you they don't have enough police, you hear reports all the time, they've either defunded the police or there's fewer there, so they might not be coming out. They might not even be coming out to interview you. You have to go into the police station to do this. If you think, well, they're never going to catch them anyway, why bother reporting it? That affects the data. And in a way, sort of makes this into a something that builds upon itself. It snowballs, right?
No, that's exactly right. And I worry that things are going to get worse. Now, look, I know some police departments have kind of reversed the earlier cuts that they had a couple of years ago. But the thing is, you've had so many retirements, too. You know, if you lose an officer who's been around for 10 or 15 or 20 years, simply hiring somebody who's been on the job for 6 months doesn't replace them with the knowledge that that guy has. It's going to be years before they're going to be up to speed and be as effective as the police officers that you lost there. But also, they're lowering the standards for people in many of these places because they're having such a hard time going and hiring people. And so, you know, they've changed the physical requirements. They've changed the intelligence requirements. You're just not going to have as effective officers there as you had before. And we're, you know, New York City cut its police budget by $1 billion a year. They have like 20,000 fewer police officers almost now than they had just a few years ago. That's a huge change. And a lot of it's due to retirements. Chicago, just in 2020 alone, cut the number of police officers by 400 positions just in that year. And it's not just that. It's also they have all these regulations on police. So Chicago's had this for a few years, but every time a police officer stops and talks to somebody, they have to fill out 2 legal pages of forms to talk about who they talked to them, why they talked to them, what they talked to them about, where it was. And it takes about an hour on average to go and do that. So you're a police officer, you go and talk to 4 people in the morning. Your afternoon is filled up with paperwork, and you've effectively reduced the number of police officers that are there more than just counting the number of officers.
And you're incentivizing people not to ask questions.
Right. And on top of that, so they don't even deal with the community.
Right.
Because they just stick in their cars and they don't want to talk to anybody because they don't want to have to do the paperwork in the afternoon.
This is obviously something that's somewhat central to Biden's reelection campaign, to politicians all across the country. There was the initial defund the police stuff that happened after George Floyd. The Democrats saw what a political problem that was for them, and they've tried to kind of push back and using this data to do so. They're, they're trying to say, hey, no, this is actually working. Things are getting much, much better. You just don't understand.
But even something like murder. Murder doesn't have all the problems that these other crime categories do. And it's been something
you're going to report a murder. You're not going to let that one slide.
Right. And solving those has been prioritized with the limited resources over some other types of crimes. But, you know, you'll read headlines about how in 2023 there was this record drop in murders. But they you read the stories and all the stories are comparing to 2020. But the thing is, so 2020 you had this big, huge increase and it's fallen from there. But why not compare it to before COVID, to 2019?
Right.
That's what I would do. But I can't tell you the number of news stories that I've read through, and they just never compare it to 2019. Is it fallen? Yeah, but it was such a huge increase in 2020 and 2021 that it's still, in 2023, 7% higher than what you had in 2019.
This is a similar story to gas prices. It's a similar story to inflation, right? Like where you see these massive peaks, and it's off of those massive peaks.
Yes.
I mean, that's an improvement, but it's still much worse than it was before
2020. Right, exactly. So you've had this big increase in gas prices, and it's come down some. You're exactly right. And so Biden and his administration will say, see, it's lower. We're getting him down, but it's still, you know, much higher than it was before Biden became president.
It's amazing. You know, so much of this you're hearing when they do these polls of voters and they say, what's the most important issue? Crime's always near the top of the list. And there's a big media push here to kind of convince you that this is going away. It's important to understand what the data actually says. And there's no one better than John Lott to break this down for you. John, thanks so much for coming on the program. John Lott's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And we really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I appreciate it. Just people need to understand that law enforcement in this country has collapsed. You know,
that's a big deal.
Yeah. And it's had lots of impacts. And so people should be afraid of this, and we need to change it. You know, we need to get, it's a local issue. Policing policies and staffing are determined locally by city councils and mayors. District attorneys are elected locally. Judges are elected locally. And, you know, if you're going to want to change it, people have to first recognize that there's a problem.
It's very, very true. John, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
All right, making sure you get your fruits and vegetables, very important, of course, when you're trying to maintain a healthy life, but it can also be difficult. And if you're a busy person, it gets even more so. The average person doesn't even eat half of the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables in a day. That's a huge gap in your nutrition. So what can you do about it? Well, Balance of Nature is a great way to go. They provide an on-the-go solution. Their proprietary blend of 31 fruits and vegetables come in easy-to-swallow capsules and will give your body so much of the nourishment that it needs. I mean, you're not going to eat 31 different kinds of fruits and vegetables in a certain day. I'm lucky if I get one, frankly. Ketchup, I count ketchup, absolutely. Balance of Nature can fill this gap for you, and it can do it in seconds. It makes it easy for you to do. It's balanceofnature.com. You will get 35% off right now, plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code STEW. It's limited to 5 sets, but you'll save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables that your mom told you were supposed to eat this whole time. It was just Mother's Day. Honor her. Balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code STEW for 35% off. It's balanceofnature.com. The code is STEW.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd. Lebara, deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
RFK Jr. is accusing Biden and Trump of colluding to exclude him from debates. Yeah, obviously, 100%. That's what they're doing. Yes, that is how this works. Congratulations. That's third party America for you. They don't want him in the debates. They definitely don't. And they are colluding to do that. They're both making the rules together and making sure that they don't have RFK Jr. in them, in those debates. At least they're going to try to. Now, will that work? I'm on two different minds here on this. Number one, I kind of think it's going to be Trump or Biden that's going to win. Made that very, very clear. I think considering there's only two debates, I'd rather have the time spent on those two. That being said, if I'm RFK Jr., he's showing up high enough in the polls that he should probably be in one of these debates. It's tough when Joe Biden is already eliminating debates as we go, and they're moving them up earlier and earlier and earlier. Now, there's an interesting quirk here, which is, first of all, RFK Jr. has to get to 15% in 4 qualifying polls. I believe he's already hit it in 2 qualifying polls, so he'd need 2 more here in the next few weeks. It's possible. I mean, he doesn't typically poll above 15%, but it is possible that he could hit that number. The other thing he has to do is be on enough state ballots to reach 270 electoral votes. That's going to be a lot harder. He's only on 3 or 4 states right now. He needs to get all the way up to 270 electoral votes. There's just not a lot of time. There's only 6 weeks out. The weird quirk here, though, is the way the rules are written. I don't think anybody qualifies for this. It's 270 electoral votes you need to be on the ballot for, but neither Trump nor Biden will be the official nominee of the party by the time this debate occurs. So none of them are going to have their conventions. They're not even the nominees yet officially. Yes, they're the presumptive nominees, but they're not the actual nominees. So I think we're going to have an empty debate stage is what I'm saying. That's right around the corner. Michael Cohen is back on the stand today. Prosecution's case in Trump hush money trial looks like it's winding down. The only reason I bring that up is it looks like this thing's going to be over probably by next week. Now, who knows how long until we get a jury, verdict, but next week this thing should probably be over. Not the same case for Hunter Biden. He's got a couple of cases coming up, and he's got a big problem. His legal defense has a problem. The patron paying the bills is running out of cash. Apparently, all of his legal bills have been paid by this one guy, a Hollywood entertainment lawyer, who has oddly just supported Hunter Biden for some reason for a very long time, to the tune of over $7 million of his own money. Well, apparently he has no more millions of dollars to spend on Hunter Biden. I don't know if he's broke or if he just is like, I'm sick of spending money on this idiot. How much of this has gone to crack? We don't know. But I will say this is not a great thing for the president and his son, and especially in this environment. Now, you think there's enough big money on the Democratic side. They shouldn't be depending on this one guy. Probably someone steps up and gives them the money they need. But as of right now, they're having their troubles. And finally, I want to give you a CNN rehab story. CNN trying to rehab itself from the doldrums. It was obviously not trusted at all. Every once in a while, they decide to put a story out that actually makes some sense, and they're trying to rehab their image a little bit. Well, there's a little bit of that here in this claim. We hit it earlier this week. Joe Biden has been saying that 9% was the inflation rate when he came into office. This, of course, is not even close to true. We showed you the chart yesterday. It was 9% much, much later than when he came into office. And they get that right here from CNN. Biden's claim that the inflation rate was 9% when he became president is not close to true. This is a quote from CNN. The year-over-year inflation rate in January 2021, the month of his inauguration, was about 1.4%. The Biden-era inflation rate did peak at about 9.1%, but that peak occurred in June of 2022 after Biden had been president for more than 16 months. Yes, CNN's actually telling the truth. Now, I guarantee that is the least popular article they've ever put up on their website, but at least we can celebrate it being there. Another day, another breaking news story buried. They'd rather talk about anything else than what's really going on. And it's not because they don't know what's going on. The media pundits and talking heads just don't want you paying attention. The real stories, well, you're going to have to dig for those. Okay, that's the way this works. You know the truth is being covered up, so prepare with what might come with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans get ready for the worst. Today, their best-selling three-month emergency food kits are flying off the shelves. You can get yours right now at preparewithstew.com. This food kit offers 2,000 calories every day, makes it nice and easy for you. Ultra-durable, four-layer packaging. It lasts up to 25 years in storage. You can order all the kits you need for $200 off each. They've got free shipping included right now. You've been warned about what can happen. Don't live in fear. Don't, you know, be prepared for what might come around the corner. This isn't just food, it's freedom. Stock up on these food kits at preparewithstew.com. It's preparewithstew.com. Be prepared. Check it out today. Preparewithstew.com. It's My Patriot Supply. Ron DeSantis has a new bill making climate change a lesser state priority. It will largely disappear from state statutes under legislation signed Wednesday by DeSantis. Also bans power generating wind turbines offshore or near the state's lengthy coastline. Critics say the measure made law by the former Republican presidential hopeful ignores the reality of climate change threats in Florida, including projections of rising seas, extreme heat and flooding, and increasingly severe storms. Just so you know, reality does not equal projection. You can't say there's a reality, we're projecting it. When it happens, you can say it's a reality. And so far, we're not really seeing this. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. Yes, we are. We're in a climate catastrophe. And why would Ron DeSantis do something like this? Well, he wouldn't have to do something like this if we didn't have stupid news stories like this. From NBC News, are migraines getting worse? Doctor suggests, yes, that's of course true, climate change, which causes more erratic and severe weather, may be a trigger for more intense migraines. Of course. Now, when they look at the actual study, the, quote, prevalence of migraines in the past three decades has remained stable. But what they're saying is they're finding that people are reporting that a migraine disability assessment scale has gone up from 22 to 42%. That is affecting people's daily activities. Now, I don't know. It seems like we've more than doubled the amount of auto victims in our society, that every single time anything goes wrong, they blame somebody else. So that could very much attest for a lot of this change here. But I mean, if you're going to blame everything on climate change, there's going to be a pushback. And there is one. And it is much, 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 much needed. And a lot more is needed as well. Here at Blaze Media, we know exactly how crazy things are about to get in this country, and that is exactly why, you know, we exist. Blaze TV and Blaze News is a place where we can speak freely with no Repercussions, a place where viewers can be a part of the team and part of the solution. Consider supporting Blaze Media, where our mission is to set fire to the lies that the left wants you to believe. Not only will you get this show, but you also have access to everything else that we do here, from our Blaze Originals series to Steve Baker's great reporting. You know, if you've seen some of his stuff on January 6th, you know what I'm talking about. You can go to blazetv.com and also subscribe today. When you do, use the promo code STU, you'll get $20 off your subscription. BlazeTV.com, the promo code is STU. Get $20 off today. BlazeTV.com, promo code is STU.